get through 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter for the next 2 years, I think, in Sunday school. But wait till we get to the next book we're going to, Hebrews. Boy, that's going to be, that one gets deep. You know, I have to wear our waders every Sunday when we get into Hebrews. But there's some great truths in these books. But as we go through the book of 1 Peter, I've been talking about a fireproof faith. And I realize, and we study Peter, that it's a reminder to us that we're either going through a fire or we're preparing for a fire. That's something I've learned in my Christian life. If you're not going through a fire right now, God's preparing you for a fire that you're going to face. This world is full of heartache, and full of trials, full of difficulties. You know, a lot of folks like to live in denial. A lot of folks like to put reality off to the side. It's not always easy. Folks would, for the most part, even we as God's people, would rather live a life of amusement than to face the reality of our world. Some have chosen to be intoxicated, to numb the effects of the trials of our life. And 1 Peter chapter number 5 says to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And I love this, casting all your care upon Him. And be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. The only way we can resist the devil is through faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How do we build a fireproof faith? We've talked about in 1 Peter chapter number 1, we're built upon the foundation of God's eternal word. In chapter 2, we're built upon the person of Christ. In chapter 3, and I'm going to put these things all together again this morning because I can't get past a verse that I want to focus on a little bit this morning in chapter 3 to build upon personal relationships. And before we even get into the scripture and before we pray this morning, I want to say this. Our relationships, as I mentioned on Wednesday night in 1 Peter chapter number 3, our relationship with Christ is reflected by our relationships with others. And God points about relationships, talks about in chapter 3 about relationships with other people. Starts out the chapter, and ye wives. And down about verse number 7, likewise ye husbands. Likewise ye wives, likewise ye husbands. And then I mentioned in verse number 8 on Wednesday night, finally be ye all. Or as we'd say down south, finally all y'all. This is how you learn to get along with each other. This is how we walk together in the grace of God. And our relationship with the person of Christ is the single greatest relationship, and it has the greatest effect in our relationships with others. You've heard people say before, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I mean, you can attest to that one. Some of you are looking at your wives right now. Yeah, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And I would say this, if I ain't right with Jesus, I ain't right with anybody. You ever had trouble getting along with somebody? Because I ain't right with Jesus. But you don't know what they did to me. You know, I like that verse that Bob said, to love your enemies. And we love our enemies if we're right with Jesus. Of course, it's a hard thing. In fact, it's an impossible thing to do without His aid. And the reason we struggle in relationships with others is because our relationship with God's not right. How's your relationship with God? Do you know Him as your Savior this morning? Yes. Are you walking with Him? Did you talk to Him yet this morning? Did you have a conversation with Him today? Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to begin the day talking with Him. You know, a lot of times we spend way too much time in what's called social media. We ought to call it for what it is, unsocial media. We've never been more unsociable in our world than we are today because of the help of social media. Some folks get on Facebook when they ought to spend more time in their on their faces before God in the book. We get so connected with everybody all around us, we're completely disconnected with God today. I'm so thankful for what we have in this book in Christ. And God's preserved His Word perfectly for us. I want you to turn in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And there's one verse especially I want to look at this morning, but we're going to look at some other ones to run up to it. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You're in 1 Peter already. You already found it. You know I'm going there, all right? But we're going to be in chapter number 1 instead of chapter number 3 today. I'm going to pull a Gary, all right? In fact, he started teaching Sunday school, and I thought, oh boy, I should have checked with him because he started the same verse that I'm going to focus on this morning. But I'm sure I'll do a better job than him. No, I'm sure he did a better job than me. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I'll let you stay seated. As we read in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that title. The full name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, not just His mercy, but His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, things in this earth, in fact, later on in 2 Peter, it's going to talk about what's going to happen to things in this earth. They're all going to be melted away. And our inheritance in heaven is not on this earth. It's in heaven where it fadeth not away. It's reserved for all eternity. Who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, I feel sorry for folks that think that they can lose their salvation. If it was mine to gain, I guess it could be mine to lose. But I didn't save myself, and I can't keep myself saved. We're saved for all eternity, and we're kept not by our power, not by our strength, not by our ability, but by the power of God. As long as God's alive, I have life. He gives us eternal life, and life is hid with Him. In verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Not just rejoice, but how do we rejoice? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. Aren't you glad seasons pass? Now, winter's just about here. But we tell ourselves all winter, all spring's coming. I saw somebody yesterday, and I was helping in the food pantry. A lady came with a Chicago Cubs t-shirt. You know that you can get them real cheap this time of year. In the spring, they're pretty expensive. Some of you don't know who that is. Probably, I don't know. I saw her and I said, wait till next year. Next season, it's going to be, well, next year is their year. Of course, halfway through the year, we've already given up and we're starting next season. But that season. We face trial. When we face trials, when we face heartache, when we're going through the fire, remember, it's just for a season. That season's going to be over. The trial of your faith being much precious, much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found to the praise and honor and the glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a verse I want to see this morning. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. There are no words to express the joy we have in Christ. And full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Father, thank you for what Jesus has done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all glory, the one equal with God Himself, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, became man for us. More than living a sinless life on this earth, more than showing us the person of God, He died to redeem us, paying the price of our awful sins. And Lord has risen again with power and might through the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit of God now lives in us because we've trusted you for life. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that. And Lord, we've not seen you, but one day we will see you. And we love you today because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our few moments we share together this morning now in your name. And for your sake we pray. Amen. You ever hear the statement, love at first sight? You believe in love at first sight? Yeah, I don't know about that. I was thinking of the first time I met my wife, and I'll tell you, our story was not love at first sight. In fact, I kind of joke about this. One of my buddies in high school happened to be my wife's cousin, and he is the one that introduced me to my wife's family. I remember going there on a Sunday afternoon to their house on South Main Street. There's nothing that, well, the farm's gone. There's a truck stop there now, actually. And going there, and he's introducing me to everybody, introducing my Uncle Ralph and Aunt Shirley and all the kids and Nana. I remember everyone except my wife. That's bad, isn't it? I remember the whole family. I remember meeting everybody except her. I said, you must not have been there. She said, oh, I was there. I saw Crazy Larry coming with one of his crazy friends, and then it was not love at first sight. In fact, but then I remember after I got saved, and I'm reminded of it today, seeing the lady up here singing. I noticed that cute little girl singing up in the choir. Oh, and I'd like to get to know her a little bit. And then why she was interested in me, I have no idea, but, she says she thought I had money, but must have been the old rusty van I was driving that said Fritzmobile on the side or something. I don't know, but love at first sight, boy. But then you hear that statement first and you hear that, oh yeah, it's usually not the way it is. But then I got thinking of this. Love before sight. Love before the first sight. We love Him, though we've not seen Him. We've not seen Him, but still we love Him. That text again says, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was thinking of that verse this week and meditating on it all week and just rejoicing what we have in Christ and thinking, first of all, that there are few that were blessed to see Jesus. And really, when Jesus lived His life, there were very few people. He lived in an obscure corner of the world, it would seem. Most people never even, the Jewish people, who cared about them? This was the days of the Roman Empire, the great Roman conquerors. And here's this little city in Nazareth, this little region of Nazareth where Jesus lived and walked and performed His ministry, and very few people in our world even knew who He was. Few were blessed, and now looking back, we go, oh wow, I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have seen. I think of people like Simeon. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Simeon in Luke chapter number 2. When Jesus was 40 days old, the time of cleansing for his mother was time to come to the temple. And there at the temple was this godly man named Simeon that noticed this baby, and God had told Simeon that you will not see death until you see the Lord's anointed. And then as this little child came into the temple, Simeon took that little child and lifted that child up into heaven and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I've seen him with my own eyes as he looked at that little 40-day-year-old baby. It wouldn't look like much. There was nothing unusual about him, but he realized he was looking at the face of his Redeemer. The Lord God, love before sight. Well, of course, we've not seen Jesus. Many that heard him speak, many that saw his miracles, and I love to read through the Gospels and look at the miracles, and there really weren't that many miracles, but they were great miracles, showing the power, the ability that our God had, hearing his messages as he reached out and touched those what were hurting, and showing compassion unto the blind, to those that were possessed with demonic spirits. They bowed down and worshiped him and cried out, Lord, it's not our time that we have to submit to you. And even the devils were subject to him. And he reached out and touched so many people. And I think of the many disciples that followed him. And out of those disciples, he chose 12 apostles and anointed them to be with him and to travel with him and focus his attention and training of those 12. And of course, Judas turned out to be a traitor out of those 12. So really just those 11 men that turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. And I think of the three inner circle disciples, they're sometimes called. And who were they? They were Peter, James, and John, three fishermen, three unlearned, uneducated men. They've not been to the great schools. They've not been trained in by the religious elite of their day. They were just common, ordinary fishermen. And Jesus focused on these. And of course, Peter is the one who wrote the book of 1 Peter. He's been an object of worship to many people that call themselves Christians today. But he was the leader of the apostles. We often see him, he was the first to speak out, usually said the wrong thing, but he did speak up, the first of all of them. And we think of his great confession when Jesus asked, whom do men say that I am? And you read that in the Gospel of Matthew. But then as the disciples walked with him, I look at Peter's life and all of a sudden everything fell apart. He watched as Jesus was arrested. He fell asleep when Jesus was praying in the garden and saw the soldiers come and arrest him. His faith was shaken. He thought this was going to be the great leader that's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And then when he had opportunity to, when he was questioned about the Lord that dark night, he denied the Lord three times. His world seemed to have ended. He saw Jesus arrested. He saw him crucified, and now he's buried, and he thought, it's over. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to what I once was. There's nothing here, but the resurrection changed everything. You know, Peter saw Jesus in his earthly ministry, but everything was different when he saw the risen Savior. And oh, what a difference it is when we read about Jesus and we learn about Jesus, but when we truly see the resurrected Jesus, what a difference it makes in our life. And I think of the other three inner circle, Peter, James, and John. James was the first apostle that was martyred. It was in Acts chapter number 12 when Herod took his life. And you think, wow. What a disappointment, this great man, and yet his life ended so soon. But he was able to see Jesus. And John, I love what John wrote in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1. And of course, these are great men that saw Jesus. And we see in the book of Acts what happened after they saw the risen Savior. But in 1 John, chapter number 1, John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. We've touched Him. We've heard Him. We've seen Him with our own eyes. But you and I have not seen Him. You and I have not gazed upon Him. Why don't I tell you this morning that we, as verse number 8 says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet ye were yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We do see Jesus through the eye of faith. We see Him through the eye of faith. I don't see Him with my physical eyes, but I do see Him through the eye of faith. I look at the disciples again in John chapter number 20. It talks about when Jesus came, and of course He'd already been risen from the dead. The first day of the week when He met with His disciples, they saw Him, and Mary and some of the ladies saw Him, and the disciples saw Him, and He appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road and different events. And then Sunday night, the disciples had all gathered together with the exception of two. Judas, of course, was not there. And then Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus, as they gathered together, Jesus came walking into the room. Didn't bother opening a door, just kind of walked in. An amazing sight that was. And remember what Thomas said when they told him, "Hey, Thomas, you wouldn't believe this. We saw Jesus tonight at church meeting. We saw Him." The first Sunday night service of the church, Thomas wasn't there. And he missed Jesus. And then the next Sunday night, I guarantee you, Thomas was there. And Thomas, even when he heard that they saw Jesus, he said, "Unless I touch Him, unless I put my hand in the wounds in His feet and His hand and His side, I'll not believe unless I see with my own eyes." Well, the next week, sure enough, Thomas was there. I'm not going to miss this one. Thomas was there on Sunday night in John chapter number 20. And it said, and Jesus came to Thomas, and Jesus repeated the words that Thomas had said. "Wow, you heard that? I didn't know my phone was on. I didn't know you were listening, huh?" Boy, you get yourself in trouble with those phones, don't you? I called my wife the other day, and somebody came, and I started talking to him, and Jacob was there. Where's Jacob at? He's downstairs. Jacob said, "You know you were still on your phone with your wife when you were talking to that guy and you put your phone in your pocket?" And he said, "I heard your wife saying, 'Hello, I'm still here. Hello, what am I?'" And he said, "I heard her say, 'I'm going to hang up now.'" Be careful what you say in your phone. Somebody could be, and they probably are listening. Thomas, "I didn't know Jesus was listening. Oh, He heard everything that I said." But Jesus said this to Thomas. Jesus saith, "Thomas, because thou hast..." And remember, by the way, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, "Lord, now I believe because I've seen. I see it now, so I believe." And Jesus said in John 20, "Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed." But I love this statement. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." We've not seen with our eyes, but we've seen through faith. "Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." As long as I'm in this body, I'm not going to see Jesus. As long as I'm in this body, I'm not going to be with Him the way I will be with Him one day. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe what we cannot see. And we are confident, Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Oh, I long for that day when I'll no longer be in this body, but I will see Him face to face. But now for a season, I'm here and I'm walking with God, and we can see Him through the eye of faith, though we cannot see Him with our physical eyes. You say, well, that faith is kind of a silly thing, our world will say today. You know, there's a lot of things in our world that we can't see that we believe. There are many things we see. We believe, but we cannot see. You know, these lights are lit up. What causes them things to light up? Electric. Can you see electricity? No, but you can see what it does. And you stick your finger in a socket, you'll feel what it does too. But I don't see it. Well, I just don't believe it because I don't see it. A lot of things in our world that we can't see, but we believe. Now, my lean, mean, green machine, my little green truck, have been running a little bit rough. Had a rough life, I guess, because it's because I sit in there a lot. But Todd, of course, Todd, the mechanic, he started telling me, well, the EGR valve is. I don't know what an EGR valve is if it bit me in the face. Though he's explained it to me 20 times. I don't know what it does. That doesn't make any sense to me. Just fix the thing. I don't know. And he said, well, it's, the Glutenhauser or Flickenhauser or whatever. I don't know what it is. This thing, I don't know how any of this stuff works, but I don't see it. It doesn't register up here. I was going to ask Rex if he can explain it to me, but Rex is down in junior church. But I don't understand that thing. But hey, as long as he knows it, I'll trust in him. I was thinking this week, the doctor said you need a PET scan. Well, I can tell you right now, we don't have pets in our house, so we're fine with that. So I don't know what that means. It used to be PSA to me was an abbreviation for Psalms until the last few years. Now it's something else. But you need to get a PET scan. So they kind of, we'll call for an appointment, whatever. And then the nurse finally called and said, and she said, I don't know how to explain this to you, but there's a nuclear reactor that's down somewhere. I said, so what? What's that mean? Well, this nuclear reactor is the only place that they make whatever it is they do to a PET scan or whatever. I thought PET was either they bark or they meow. I don't know what a PET scan is. But because of it, I don't understand any of that stuff. Just tell me, doc, am I going to make it through tomorrow or whatever? We trust in doctors, don't we? We trust in those that are mechanics. We trust in electricians. Well, maybe. I don't know. We trust in the folks that we have faith in them. We say, well, I can't believe in a God I can't see. But we can see Him through the eye of faith. We can see what He's done in our life. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. God led the nation of Israel by faith. God led Abram by faith. God called His people by faith. By faith, Moses. And God, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And I love this, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I seek Him not with my eye, but by faith. Well, how do I get that faith? There's nowhere to get that faith outside of this book right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by reading the evening news. People don't read the evening news, watching the evening news. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only place we can build our faith is in the Word of God. In fact, I want you to turn to something here, and I love the books of Peter and 2 Peter. Actually, I like better than 1 Peter. So, Gary, you should have just started in 2 Peter. That's the better book. And we're going to spend the whole time there. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want you to see these verses just a couple of pages over in your Bible. In verse number 18, and Peter here is talking about that time on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain, he was transfigured before them. In verse number 18, it says, "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard God the Father say, 'This is my beloved Son.' We saw him with our own eyes. We've heard the voice of God when we were with him on that holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy or revelation, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Knowing what is that sure word of God? More than if you hear people say, "Well, if I could just see God, then I would believe," like Thomas. "Or if I could just hear his voice, then I would believe." You've got something more than that. You see, by the way, I'm glad Jesus didn't come when we had cell phones. Huh? Boy, if we had a cell phone, we could live stream it and everybody would see. There's a reason he didn't come that way. Because, you know, if he did, you know what everybody would be doing when he's feeding the 5,000? We'd be doing this. Man, there's food to eat. I'm going to get a picture of that. Boy, wait till all my friends see this one. We get so wrapped up. Put the thing down and enjoy the moment, huh? Put the thing down and talk to Jesus and walk with him. We have a more sure word. We weren't scanning the news. We weren't reading it. We saw something with our own eyes, but we have something better than this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. God didn't write something to somebody over here and then write something over. No, God said, "This is the Word of God. This is the truth." That baby does talk. Look at the first words. We heard it right here. No. Not a distraction to use. Never mind. Squirrel. We'll get it later. All right. Bunny rabbit. We have, "For this prophecy, this book that we hold in our hand, came not in old time by the will of God," or by the will of man. Ooh, don't say that wrong. "It came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit gave them the word to speak. And we have something that's preserved for all time. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." This book that we hold in our hand is preserved for all time by God himself. And it's a more sure word than if God were to come and to talk to you today. Because if that happened, boy, it's gone today and it's here today and now it's gone. I remember. No, the Word of God is a more sure word. We see him through the eye of faith. Oh, I look back at the time when I met Jesus. You remember when you met Jesus? When you called upon him to be your Savior? And it's so real. And you got up and think, "Wow, why couldn't I see this before?" And oh, how I long to see him again. I can think of times in my life when this book was written to those that are going through or preparing for severe persecution, severe opposition. I can think of times when my heart was so troubled and so broken that I was crying out to God in the quiet of the night, pouring my heart out to him, and all of a sudden it seemed as if somebody was behind me. You ever get that feeling? Oh my. Somebody's there, and I knew if somebody's here, it's got to be God himself, and I'm not going to turn around and look. And I thought, wow, to sense the presence of God and the comfort that only He can bring, the good shepherd. The promise of the Father that's given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I love the words of Jesus in John 14, 15, 16, and then the prayer in chapter number 17, where He says, I'm going to my Father, but I'm bringing you another one, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the person of God in the Holy Spirit, and He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will guide you in this book. He will teach you things. And because I go to my Father and I send Him to you, the works that you've seen me do, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. What? You mean I get to walk on water? No, He's not talking about that. But because He lives in us, He's always with us. And oh, what a wonderful thing that is to think that we can see Him through the eye of faith. And then last, I need to go on here so we can get done. Oh, whom having not seen you, love, and whom though now we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me tell you something. We shall see Jesus face to face one day. What a day that will be. At the end of this life, or at His return, we will see Him face to face. The psalmist said in Psalm 17, as for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in Thy likeness. All I want to see is Jesus. I want to see Him face to face. Moses said at the end of his life, God, show me Your glory. Show me Your person. I want to see You face to face. Paul said, I may know Him. I want to know Him. I want to see Him. And the longer I live, the more I desire to see Him, whom having not seen, ye love. And though ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but listen to this, then shall I know even as also I am known. You know, God knows every single thing about me. My knowledge of Him is so limited. My experience of Him is so minute compared to what He knows about me. He knows the number of hairs on my head. I didn't know that about myself. He knows every detail about Him, and He's constantly showing things that are in my heart that I didn't even know were there. Wow, I didn't know that was there, God. He knows me, but God says that one day I'm going to know Him even as He knows me. I'm going to know everything about Him. I'm going to know who He is. I'm going to see Him face to face, and I shall be known even as also, and I shall know Him even as also I am known. Here, think of this. Peter saw something every Old Testament saint longed to see but never got to see. Peter saw something that the angels desired to look into, but they couldn't comprehend it. He saw the first coming of Christ. He saw the resurrected Savior. And by the way, none of that was like he expected it to be. But we didn't get to see like he saw. And yet, we're about to see something that Peter never got to see. And I can guarantee you, it ain't going to be anything like what we expect it to be. Just like his first coming wasn't anything. I know we've got pictures in our mind. We've seen the movies already, right? We know what it's going to be like when he comes. We've heard this preacher talk about it, and we've read it in this book, and we've seen it on social media. We even know what it's going to be like because we've seen it. But it ain't going to be nothing like we expected it to be. Just like his first coming wasn't. But oh, I'm longing to see him. Behold, what manner of love my Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One day we'll see Him as He is. Today we see Him through the eye of faith. But one day you'll see Him, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When my life work is ended and I cross that swelling tide, on the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand, whom having not seen, ye love. Though we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you